Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's our third hour on a Monday afternoon, Chad Hartman, with Adam Carter and Dan Cook. They'll join the conversation in minutes. Right now, U.S. Attorney Erica McDonald is with us. Erica is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. We've talked a lot the last few weeks, how it seems like it's almost every day we are reading about another shooting or a series of shootings in the city of Minneapolis, why this is happening and what can be done. The U.S. Attorney, Erica McDonald, last week, middle of the week, announced that she was mobilizing a multi-agency command center for a new task force aimed at curbing this extraordinary spike. This was going to take place over 30 days. We decided to wait a little bit just to see how this would play out. And Erica is kind enough to join us. Erica, take us through what has happened since you first made that announcement the middle of last week.
You know, it's been great to see our law enforcement partners come together in the way that only Minnesota can do. We enjoy a very good relationship among federal, state, and local, and this command center has really facilitated the ability to share in real time our technological intelligence and analytical resources to address this issue. I can tell you right now the task force has already arrested four individuals, including the individual who is alleged to have shot or is being charged with having shot the pregnant woman in the car. We were able to secure his whereabouts in Chicago and use the FBI's huge task force to get the information out there to find him in Chicago, and we're bringing him back here to Minnesota. So that's a good example of the reach of this task force. It's not just state, it's not just local, but it's federal. We're working with all of our partners to see that people are being held accountable.
Do you think that arrest happens if this task force is not assembled?
You know, I can't never say never, right? I think any lawyer would probably give you an it depends answer. But what I can tell you, it wouldn't have happened swiftly. It wouldn't have been as coordinated. It wouldn't have been as precise and targeted. And it was swift.
Who makes up the task force?
The task force is comprised of federal, state, and local law enforcement. So when you talk about the federal partners, FBI, ATF, DEA, United States Marshal Service, United States Secret Service, HSI, all of those partners, along with Hennepin County Sheriff's Office, Dakota County Sheriff's Office, Ramsey County Sheriff's Office, as well as Minnesota's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, and finally Minneapolis PD and St. Paul PD are actively involved. So we've got all those law enforcement entities that come together to share information to in the command center. I should stress to you, we have the best of the intelligence of the technological and analytical resources to maximize these efficiencies and swiftly identify and bring to justice those who are perpetrating this violence in our communities. And they're doing so by sharing this information among these groups.
So is it a matter of, Erica, that the biggest thing this task force is trying to emphasize, obviously, is to solve these things and prevent these from happening, but you're bringing them together so they can communicate with each other in case they weren't, or just give me an idea how this effort is better because the task force now has been created.
By having a central command center, you have all those agencies working together in real time, both to ensure deconfliction, to make sure that resources are being used as efficiently as possible and that information is shared in real time. And so, you know, when you have these organizations in their different respective homes, it's a little bit more difficult to get that information out in real time. But with everybody centralized in one location, in the same command center, with prosecutors right there embedded, then we have the opportunity to share that information instantaneously.
What is your role day-to-day with the task force as the U.S. Attorney for the state?
I'm directly monitoring the actions of the task force as well as the folks in my office who are embedded in the task force. We have federal prosecutors who are going to be there or who are there throughout the operations to both direct investigations as well as coordinate information, and I am getting real-time updates.
Data from Minneapolis police late last week talked about 243 people shot compared to 269 as of all of last year. With the slain Friday morning in the city had already logged twice as many homicides as it had this time last year at 32. Some of the shooting numbers can be up tied to the protests related to the death of George Floyd. But when you and the top people you're talking to are trying to understand why these shootings are up, what can you tell us? Why is this happening?
You know, the most important thing that I can tell you is we're not going to let them continue. I would say that it's important, especially what you'll hear and what you'll see is when the criminal element, who's a very, very, very small percent of the population, hears that the feds are coming in, things tend to quiet down quickly. When you're looking at federal time, it's different than state time, and the word gets out on the street that we're coming. And so when you say that prevention is part of it, I'm 100% behind that. My hope is that the word gets out there and that folks will be putting down the guns and figuring out a different way to spend their time during COVID-19. I can tell you also, we've got swift enforcement has got to end this violence, this spate of violence here in the Twin Cities. But I have to emphasize that we need the community's help with this. Law enforcement can't do it alone. Every violence reduction program relies on the collective efforts of not just law enforcement, not just prosecutors, but of our service providers in our community of saying enough is enough. We're not putting up with this. The violence must end.
We've had various reports of number of officers who are not on the street due to retirement. We had a press conference on Friday from an attorney, Ron Muser, who represents a number of officers, talking about a number of potentially 150 who are suffering from PTSD, many related to everything that took place, the violence and the protest after the death of George Floyd. As a member of the task force, do you think the Minneapolis Police Department has enough people on the streets trying to stop this?
You know, I think the most important thing that we need to do is, and I want to make this real clear, is we are not flooding the streets with federal law enforcement officers. They are there to back up Minneapolis PD and St. Paul PD as they are doing their work. But, you know, it's very important that people understand some of the folks that we're looking at and that we are targeting, and when I say that, we do have a very specific and surgical plan in place to address folks, are tied to a number of shootings. It's a small number, and if we get that small number off the street, it doesn't matter how many bodies you have on the street, because we've gotten off the bodies who are causing this violence.
The task force is – yeah, no, go ahead. Sorry about that.
I was going to say the other thing that I really want the community to be aware of, you know, I serve as a commissioner on the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and the Administration of Justice, and we were stood up in January well before all of this happened. There's 16 commissioners nationwide. I'm one of which, the only U.S. attorney serving on the commission. And we've been examining these issues for a number of months. Issues related to excessive force and protocols, issues related to accountability, issues related to officer recruitment, training. And one issue that's really important when you talk about those 150 is we've been looking at issues of officer wellness. Wellness is something that's not spoken enough about among those individuals who are at the front line of fighting violence. You know, as the U.S. attorney, I stood up a wellness committee within our office because prosecutors are on that front line seeing things like child pornography and violence to our communities. And so we really need to, as a community and as a state and as a country, come to grips with wellness issues and what we're doing to make sure that folks are in the best position possible to do the work they need to do.
This is a task force which is set up for 30 days. What happens when it ends?
We're going to do an evaluation. We'll be evaluating it. As I said, I'm getting real-time updates on a daily basis. At the end of the 30 days, we're going to look. We're going to see what we've done with respect to fighting the spate of violence. Do we need to continue to operate? And we will, I'll emphasize, operate as long as we need to make sure that we've driven down these numbers and that folks can feel safe to go outside their homes. You know, I've gotten emails and voicemails from folks, including a gentleman who told me, you know, he saw a drug deal go down outside his home. He saw a guy toting a gun. And then he told his two kids, if they hear gunfire, to get on the ground. And then he went and changed his load of laundry. That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen to any parent out there. They should never have to tell their children that. And so we're doing everything within our power to make sure that we're getting the shooters off the street.
So let me pick up on that, because you probably have a lot of people who live in Minneapolis who hear this and say, you know what, I've been saying that for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And why should I believe that this task force is going to be any different?
Well, first of all, it's the first time I've been a U.S. attorney directing. Second of all, you know, I put together this task force. It hadn't been put in place. And so we're trying something new. We're trying something different. And let's see how it works. And at the end of 30 days, we're going to evaluate it. We're going to see where we stand, make what adjustments we need. And we're going to continue to fight for the people.
Erica, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.